Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
28 minutes after 6, that's your time, my family, this morning. Ndoko Zombambo playing in your background. And before that, we got Hezekiah Walker with God Favored Me. And before that, Martha Menezi with God Is Here. That song really, really healed me this morning. Betusile Mthinga together with Udumi Jumbo with Amandle Gazi. We also heard from Dumim Gokstadi Iketsamane, Kaleka Kuhleke Bazalwane with Ufuti Mhlongo Osipho Kaleni. Oh, may his soul rest in peace. Joe Metal and Sikale Inkonzo Yetunge Gombete Shawange Mini and It's Our Joyous Celebration. 29 after 6. Utato Sandileswana is on the line. Tata, good morning, and thank you so much for giving us your time once again this morning.
Good morning, Ayanda, and to your listeners. Thank you so much.
Firstly, blessed Father's Month. I'm declaring it Father's Month, right? I'm declaring it Men's Month, and I am declaring it your month, Ningo Tata.
Thank you. I welcome that, and I hope that as fathers, we will take the title that God has given us, which is His own title of fatherhood, and embrace it, and embrace the responsibility, the challenges, and the joys that go with it.
Amen, Idata. So this morning we continue with our conversation, this conversation is really aimed at rebuilding the broken ruins of fatherhood in our society. We are really picking up the pieces that are, and we are saying this can be reconstructed, man. This can be, there's a restoration that can still happen here. And so today we want to focus specifically on the economic element of fatherhood, where a father is seen as a provider, and yet it is not always, he doesn't always have access to those means. And yet we know that with fatherhood comes the grace to be able to provide. Still start to say that.
Thank you so much, Ayanda. Before I get into my message today, I think in my last session, I spoke about how this whole poverty entered the African community,
right.
The native community.
Yes, we were dealing with those
solutions. Now, I want to draw the attention of the listeners to a book that also deals with this issue, although it's not the central topic, but it does touch on it. I got a lot of help on it from that book. It's called Making African Christianity. Africans reimagining their faith in colonial South Africa by Professor Robert J. Hull, Making African Christianity. So that book is very, very important to understand how that economy, for instance, this one focuses on what happened in KZN amongst the Zulus, but it is instructive across. For today's lesson, I'm using maybe three resources. One of the resources that I would like to refer people to is a book called Thou Shall Prosper, 10 Commandments for Making Money by Jewish Rabbi Daniel Lapin. Thou Shall Prosper, 10 Commandments for Making Money by Rabbi Daniel Lapin. I just wanted people to have additional resources to deal with this issue. A big part of what the actual lesson that I'm presenting today is also based on an article that I published, which is still on the website of the World Economic Forum, WEF. It's called Four Kinds of Capital Africa Needs Most. But it's actually five kinds of capital.
Sure.
So now, let's then get started with today's lesson.
Dada, before we get started, you've just thrown many, many bombs. There's no ways we're going to pass by those. So the first thing is the resources that you're recommending. So I'm going to ask that you send them to me so that I can keep punting them, right, Dada? The book by Professor... I didn't get the name.
Robert J. Hull.
Professor
Making African Christianity.
Right, Making African.
Making African Christianity. And then the other one is Thou Shalt Prosper by Rabbi Daniel Lapin, the Ten Commandments of Making Money.
Okay, fantastic. So the Rabbi Weinion I'm quite familiar with. As you just started this morning, you also reminded me that our conversation ended on a very high note last week, where we were talking, for example, about I don't want to call it the Indian model. I don't know if it's already a model, but it's a culture in the Indian community of how they do things, where they start right at home to combine resources, etc. So that when you talk about the five economic
this is the five forms of capital. These are five forms of capital. Capital comes in five forms.
Yes.
The
five forms of capital that Africa needs. But I think, should we not take a detour, or at least can you give us a plug where we can go and read the article for ourselves so that we can then agree if we're going to come and discuss it here or not?
No, anything is fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to give people a structure and also to give people a resource that is always there for them.
Okay, great.
And then, these things, as you and I have been discussing, I'm still going to make podcasts of these things.
Yeah.
But whatever direction you want to take, I'm always game, yeah.
Great stuff, Dada. No, siyabulela kakhulu. Let's try and see if we can help Abu Dada best manage and provide for their households this morning.
Yes. So there are a few ideas that we need to be aware of. There's a scripture that I got a number of years ago from the Living Bible. It says Proverbs 24:27. It says, develop your business first before building your house. Develop your business first before building your house. In simple terms, create an economic base for yourself before starting your family or building your house. Have an economic base. Now, the first thing just to consider is that a lot of us don't actually consciously develop an idea to say, actually, how am I going to create long-term financial sustainability for myself as an individual man? Two, for myself and my wife. Three, for myself and my children. Four, for myself and my grandchildren. That idea, people don't know that is part of Christianity.
Yeah.
Yet the Bible tells us that study to be quiet and mind your own business, and that we must live independently so that even those who do not believe can actually learn a good example from us. So that's the side of belief. But then let's get to the topic of today. The word that I am using is capital. Now, capital is anything that is used to produce other goods for final consumption. So let's then look at your grandmother. Your grandmother would have a sewing machine to produce clothes.
Right.
The sewing machine is capital because it is used to produce goods for final consumption. The clothes are clothes that a person can take and put on and use in daily life. The actual sewing machine, you can't wear it. Mm. But without it, you can't make the clothes. So you use the sewing machine to produce clothes and any sheets and whatever else you want to produce. So a capital good is anything that can be used to produce other goods that can be used for final consumption.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am then saying to all of us as men and as Christians more generally, that one of the things that I think we have not understood is the mastery of capital, how to master capital.
Mm.
And there are five forms of capital. Finance capital, right?
Mm-hmm.
Human capital.
Right.
Intellectual capital.
Mm.
Social capital. And physical capital. So I said there are five forms of capital. Now, finance capital, many people, when they talk about finance capital, they talk about capital, they are talking about finance capital.
Yeah.
But there's something that we don't understand about finance capital. Finance capital comes from savings. Therefore, when you want to build strength, economic strength in your life and in your family, one of the things that needs to happen is that you must build savings. And as a family, as a community, and a nation, you must build savings. The number one billionaire in Africa is called Aliko Dangote from Nigeria. What you then discover is that his grandfather was a successful businessman. His father was a successful businessman. When he had to start his own business, the startup capital came from his own family. When I had to start my own business, my uncle provided the capital, and my father provided some of the guarantees along the line. I didn't have money to go into business for myself. So, and then also what we often forget in the realm of finance is that a lot of us, we complain that today we don't have money, forgetting that the money that we had, the Kalengo Ija was eaten the money that we had, and now we don't have money. So China, for instance, as a nation, their savings rate has been between 30 and 50%. So if a Chinese person is making 100 rand, they will save 30 rand or 50 rand. And a lot of the development that you've seen China to become a superpower was financed by the Chinese themselves from their own savings. From their own savings. And China, by the way, on a per capita basis, I think by 2011, let's say, to be safe, let's say by 2007, their GDP per capita was lower than South Africa.
Wow.
And they have since overtaken us, investing mostly their own money in their own country. Besuka endlaleni. Now, so you cannot say that you are building wealth for your family by dressing up in the most expensive clothes. We came on. Some of us throw the biggest parties to show people that we are successful, but we don't have savings.
Yeah.
We don't have money that is invested so that we can increase our financial capacity. We deplete our financial capacity. We wear the most expensive imported shoes. We wear the most expensive pants and all. We always depleting our things. We are consumers. So we have not mastered the idea that money is a thing that you can use to produce other things, not just to consume. So we don't look at money as capital. Then let's move on quickly.
Yazi into nitata ne
ndicela
I'm going to ask that we just stay there kancinci. I think let's allow that to simmer. I have a couple of questions that I'd like to help all of us process what we have just heard this morning, because it is both powerful and convicting at the same time. The first gedada is that we get the part where, you know, our behavior has to change. I mean, there's no ways about it. We have to get to a point where we are so exhausted, you know, with what we are seeing, that we have to change our behavior. But for me, that whenever I look at the financial behavior, especially of African men, in fact, let me not say African men, let me say South African men, is that we have a context, Tina, you know, from which we come from. And I think we dealt with that context last week. It is a context of deficit. Yeah, understand? And now you explained it nicely last week to say that we have this notion of black tax, which we call black tax, and there's a negative connotation to it, because what black tax does, it takes the best of a family and then milks the best out of that person in the family, so that that person, even if they wanted to start saving, it would be difficult for them to actually start their life from a savings point of view. They start by almost paying back, in inverted commas, or they start by helping. Dada, with this context, how do we help? And then, oh, there's a third one. In fact, there are two more. And then the third one is this thing, Dada, of unemployment. So China, for example, if we had to take compare apples to oranges or oranges to oranges, China, their savings rate is between 20 to 50%. Because actually, even their employment rate, that even when they were in poverty, the beauty about the Chinese is, and I don't know if it's because they are one culture nation, the beauty about the Chinese is that they created employment amongst themselves. So there was always a flow, you know, economically one way or another. So we have South Africa where unemployment is a thing. It's a big thing, especially amongst young people. And finally, you then have the criminal element, where these young people who are actually supposed to be coming in at entry level, triggering the economy, putting out innovative ideas there. Bonke basa jele, Dad.
Yeah. Now there are a number of things that you are raising there, but we need to be very careful that we don't paralyze ourselves. Let me point out to you that my grandfather, my father's father, actually became an alcoholic whilst my dad was still in junior school, in primary. So my dad and his mother had to see to it how he gets an education.
Wow.
So what then would happen is that he would go to school. During school holidays, they would have been planting potatoes, planting this and selling, so that at least when the schools reopen, he can go back to school with the money that they've collected, selling vegetables and whatever else they were able to make it in the home. And a lot of the time, that money was not enough. So he tells me of stories where, you know, they would be learning in class, and then during break, he would be borrowing the textbooks from the other kids to learn as quickly as possible what was being taught in the previous session, because he didn't have textbooks of his own. So even during after school, he would be studying other people's textbooks by borrowing from this one, and but he still got his matric with the first distinction in all of that. And after that, he had to, eventually he was expelled for political reasons from Fort Hare anyway. And then he had to work and support his mother now to raise the younger kids that were there.
Right.
And eventually he got married in that process. We were there. He was looking after us, looking after his siblings, and looking after his own wife, and looking after himself. But today, my father is still alive. I was able to save money during that lifetime. He is financially, totally financially independent. I think that when you look at the money that he makes on what he saved over time, it's small. He would actually be in the upper earning groups of people in South Africa. Mm. Totally independent. The salary, the income that he earns from interest and so on, it would make him compete with professionals who are working today, senior professionals.
Mm.
And he paid, if you want to call it a black debt, he paid it in full. He didn't leave anything out.
Mm.
And he still became economically independent.
That I can...
So...
Yeah. Hmm? Yeah. Mm.
So wait a minute. Bear in mind that I am his child.
Yes.
Myself. So I left home at the age of 19 and never went back home. Right?
Mm-hmm.
To go to study, to go and work, and produce, create my own family,
mm-hmm.
and do these things. So we need to be careful to say, and God is just. If you look at the Jews, for instance, the Jews, they got dispersed more than 2,000 years ago. When Jesus came to Jerusalem and Galilee and all that, the Jews were oppressed people. They didn't have their own country. They didn't have their own country until 1947. From the time that Jesus was born, they were already oppressed. Mm. Until 1947, when the state of Israel was established. They were exiles. They were being persecuted around the world, but they became economic superpowers around the world because of principles, because of economic principles, which I'm trying to teach here today. So what we need to be careful about is the situation where when I'm trying to communicate to you principles of economic success, then you start telling me about your problem.
No, but kaloku tata, we have to. Data pick, we absolutely have to do that. And I'll tell you the reason why we have to do that. We may not have been there when the Jews were navigating and undoing their own situation. They had to go through teaching. Questions had to be asked. Contexts had to be brought to the fore. Yes, we get the principle. But can you then help us to understand? Because that I think the other thing that when we teach the culture of learning here in South Africa is that because we are really, all of us, we are really desperate to see change, we don't realize that there is a level of literacy that would allow me to absorb information. But there's also another level of literacy that would need for me to sort of go through a counseling, so to speak, in order for that information to take root. So we have to bring that context in place, kaloku tata.
Yes. Now, what I want to say to you is this one. When you are, when I started playing rugby and I went for training, I didn't know that there was a thing called the frog jump those days.
Yes, it's still there.
I didn't know that I could actually do 400 meters of frog jump.
Ha!
Right? Eh?
Ha! You?
Right? So, until the trainer told us to start doing it.
Wow, okay.
And he didn't expect us to fail to do it.
I got you that, 100%.
And then I started doing it. Whilst I was doing it, I was wondering whether this guy has got a secret agenda to kill me or what exactly is up to. It was painful. It was hard. But I found myself being able to do it.
Right.
Now, after we did that, at a later stage, so we had to run back to school to the boys' hostel. And there was a place there, an uphill, a tar road, an uphill to our school. When we got to the bottom of the hill, he asked us to start the frog jump again to the gate of the school. So when you tell people to go to the next level, you can have a conference about how impossible it is, how difficult it's going to be, or we can get started.
Got you, Dad.
And until they see that they can actually do it, This is what needs to be done, and you are going to do it.
Got you.
Right?
Got
so,
you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that is that. Then the scripture then I want to give you says Proverbs 22, verse 6 to 7. Mm-hmm. Train a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not turn away from it. A rich person rules over poor people, and a borrower is a slave to the lender. Right? Now, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. So, now there are two things there. We need to train our youngsters about economics, about business, about productivity, about profits, and about wealth when they are young, so that when they are old, they do not depart from the ways of making money and becoming self-sufficient economically. Two, the Bible says the lender rules over the poor. The rich rules over the poor. The lender rules over the poor. And the borrower is a servant to the lender, is a slave to the lender.
Sure, come on.
So, I was continuing with my life until somebody told me, a preacher told me, that finally, do you know that you can live a debt-free life? This house where I am in now, that I am staying in now, is totally debt-free. I built it hard cash without borrowing. Now, I could have told that person all of my problems and how I'm so weak and how I can fail to do it, how I was born in Paraguana, Soweto, and everything else. But I said, this is a man of God telling me I can do this.
Amen, it did.
And it's going to be done, and it was done. I still have people coming there criticizing me how long it took for me to build this house, because I was not taking any loans to build it. I built it with money that I actually made. And then people who've never done what I've done were the ones who would be able to criticize me. They've not even tried. So I want people to understand that we are here to train them not to continue living the way they are living.
Amen, Dad. Amen.
We are here to train it's people powerful. To adopt new paradigms of life. Their minds and bodies will first of all rebel against it. And it's going to be hard, but it's going to be successful.
Come on. It's
right?
Powerful. Amen.
So, the next item I want to bring, which is in this scripture, is human capital. The Bible says, train up a child.
Yeah. Tata ndicela lena ye human capital siyenze next week, ne?
Yeah.
I think what is going to be probably helpful is for us to work through the different types of capital week by week. For example, we've got a message coming through from Tokozani that I'd like us to listen to together, so that if there's a response required, we can give you that opportunity to respond to it. Can we do that quickly, Dada?
Yes, we can.
Thank you so much. 56 minutes after 6, that's your time. My family, we've got Dato Sandi Leswana. Asicengwa namhlanje, okay? I'm busy trying to negotiate on your behalf. About that, I must be soft. Everybody is just silent. No. We are really getting. Today is just proper training. But Tokozani, let's hear what you have to say. And thank you so much for coming through on 0826572729.
Faith, hope, and love. Experience victory in your life on 657 AM.
Good morning, us Ayanda, as well as Umfundisi. And then I would like to say happy Men's Month for the rest of this June month. Yes, us Ayanda, man. I would like first to compliment and commend Pastor for sharing with us these important aspects of economy. But then coming to my understanding is the fact that the men, the African men, if you could just realize, they're still under the oppression of controlling their finances. Remember that back in the days of our culture, There was this thing of the man is the head of the family. Yes, it's still continuing, but then now these days, then in that way, the man was to provide for his family, his own family, plus his mother's family, where he does come from, as well as maybe the family of. The family of what do you call his in-laws, you see. So they were all dependent to men, all those three families. So that actually has caused a woos to the financial life of a man. So we're still under pressure, and then we still lack that education, the financial education. We need to be taught more or change the system. We need to, you know, if you could understand that we still have to, there's a lot more things that we need to do that involves money, financial management from our own perspective. I don't want to go far about this. Thank you very much, guys, there in the studio. And also, Muruti, thank you very much for highlighting the facts of the cultural as well as the religious way of controlling the finances. But we still need more education about controlling our monies. Thank you very much, guys.
Hey, uthokozani uzawusibethisa bethu. Uswazi already selustrongo kangaka, uthokozani kuthwe kaloku. We can't be looking at the problems. Yo, tata, and then I'm anditini. Don't gonna know kuti, please comment, because we literally have 40 seconds before we have to cross over to the next program. But there you have it, tata, exactly what I was saying.
Yes. All I will say is that my father was given two families to look after. His in-laws, because his my maternal grandfather died young.
Mm-hmm.
His firstborn son went into exile. So my father looked after his wife's family. He looked after his father's family, his own siblings, and he looked after us. And the last thing I will say is that when I got married, I stopped my wife from working.
No.
She was working for SABC. I told her to stop working, and I have carried this home as a sole breadwinner, and I've never thought that I'm not able. So once you start believing that through Christ you can do all things, and that God has called you to be a man,
sure,
a father, and the head of the home, and a provider, you are fully capable of doing it. Until you believe that, you are not going to be able to do it.
That was sufficient for today. So much to think about. We really appreciate you, Dada. Where do people find you? Where do we invite you? Where do we connect with you before we cross over to our programs?
Yes, on Facebook, I've got a page called Rehoboth Bible Seminars.
Mm-hmm.
My phone number is 0833903066.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That is Udato Sandile Swana, my family. We're crossing over now to church here on Radio Pulpit. So what we are really trying to do is normalize the time where we can exactly at 6:15 get Udata to just allow for these teachings, because it's really gold, right? What we're learning. So 6:15 every Sunday until we're done. That's where we're going to start. If you want to send your messages, your prayers, let that happen. All the way from 5 o'clock to 6:15. Bless you and love you, my family. May this week be better than this morning was, really.
Hear the word and renew your life on 657 AM.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer request by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? Then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now. www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.